This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It is the 2nd of January, the start of a new year. And the good news is I haven't missed a day's training this year yet, which is a win. Yes, I know we're only 2 days in, but I'll take all the small wins I can get. I hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday as we record this. I'm looking at my watch recording this at mid-afternoon sort of time, but it feels like it is in the middle of the night. I was up at 4 a.m. this morning to head out on the bike. Got out with a group that I had trained with a couple of years ago, and super stoked to be back on the bike this morning. The good news is they didn't kill me. I did feel like I was going to pop a lung, but I managed to get a good 60 k's in this morning, which is fantastic. Before the sun was up, I was managed to get home before my wife and kids were up, which is fantastic, and feeling great, which is pretty cool. So I hope your training today has gone well, whatever it is that you did have planned. If you haven't done it yet, get out there, do it. That's one thing I must say that I've really struggled with, particularly in 2017, and that's one thing that's got to change. I mentioned yesterday that some things are going to give in 2018, and one of the things that is going to give is my inactivity. 2017 was not the best of years athletically for me, but 2018 is going to be far better, and didn't get to race last year, and this year that is definitely changing. So I've been alluding to some things that are happening in the coming months here on the Kona Edge. One of them is I have entered another Ironman, so it'll be number 6 for me in 2018. I'll give you all the details as we get closer to the day as well. But I've been looking for some accountability and been able to sort of work with people, not necessarily work with people, but to have an accountability buddy, so to speak. So I've been working on ways to do that within the Kona Edge, and I've got a couple of very cool things in the pipeline that I hope you're going to be excited about, because I'm super, super excited about it. But I'll tell you all the details in the next week or so as we start putting plans in place. But one thing I am going to ask is, if you listen to the podcast and you've got some experience with regards to APIs, and in particular using sort of like Garmin Connect APIs and Strava, Fitbit and all of that sort of stuff, if you've got some experience with that and you'd like to partner with us on a project here at the Kona Edge, please pop me an email, brad@thekonaedge.com. I have a bit of a proposal for you, and I'm pretty excited about it, but I'm pretty techie when it comes to normal web design sort of stuff, but I'm not too clued up with regards to using APIs. So I know that's a bit of geek speak. If you haven't a clue what I'm talking about, it doesn't matter, it doesn't apply to you. But if you are interested in that sort of stuff and you are keen to team up with us here at the Kona Edge, please do pop me a mail, brad@thekonaedge.com. Coming up on today's podcast, we're going to be heading back to Hong Kong today to catch up with someone who we spoke to a few weeks ago. If you haven't heard his story yet, it is fantastic. 0 to 12 to Kona in 12 months. I'm talking about Stefano Pastorello. We're talking about his nutrition strategy on the Kona Edge today. This is the Coach's Corner, and it's time to chat some coaching. If you need some help to get faster, or if you want to get stronger, we've got access to a network of triathlon coaches around the globe that are more than willing to help you out. All you have to do is head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. If you own a coaching business, or if you're a coach yourself and you'd like to get a bit of airtime here on the podcast, all you have to do is head over to that same URL, scroll down to the bottom, all the details are there. It's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Well, it's time to chat some nutrition here on the Kona Edge, and we've alluded to it. Stefano Pastorello joins us now. Stefano, welcome back onto the Kona Edge. We've been chomping at the bit, so to speak, to talk about your nutrition, because this is the key to your success. This is what's been able to pull it all together for you.
Yeah. I must say that this is true. I mean, being a good runner would have been probably enough to run as fast as you can for the last 5K of the marathon in Kona.
Over the last few years, there's been a lot of talk about low-carb diets and being ketogenic and high fats. Tell me a little bit about your approach. You're obviously on a carb-restricted diet. You race and train fasted. Tell me a little bit about how you approach things from a nutrition point of view.
Well, yeah, I don't like to self-profess myself as a keto, Atkins, or paleo, or whatever. For me, it's just about being adapted to burn fuel efficiently. So if I teach my body, and this is something that I picked quite naturally because I wanted to trim weight. So looking online or whatever, they were saying like try to train without breakfast. Have breakfast later, if even. And I started doing it. So I just go out and train in the morning for whatever. Even if I go for a 5 hour ride, I wouldn't have breakfast in the morning. And funny enough, I brought it to the extreme level last year in February, before a marathon, and I was really carb restricted for 3 weeks before race day. And then I refueled 24 hours before with starchy carbs, with good carbs. I mean, I don't hate carbs. I hate bad carbs. I love good carbs like yams, taros, sweet potatoes, stuff like this. I mean, squash, I love it. And they are part of my diet. And I do a lot of vegetables and stuff. But the key thing was being really carb restricted. I mean, I was quite careful not to go beyond a certain number of grams per day training. And the day before I refueled and I was on fire. I ran a marathon. I just drank water and I ran the fastest marathon time here in Hong Kong. And I do think that was the biggest component of my nutrition. So of course, I mean, I need to be frank. I mean, there is a lot of science around this and I try not to push too hard in terms of heart rate. So I would just stay at 140 to 150. I don't want to become glycolytic. I don't want to start with science now, otherwise I become boring. But the thing is, I need to find a comfort pace. So for my nutrition strategy to work, I need to find the comfort pace that doesn't put me out of my preferred zone. Where I am a fat burning machine. So basically in that moment I'm burning fat and I don't have any sparkle, so I don't bonk. You know, when I say I'm bonkable, I do mean it, because I since I started training like this, I never bonked. I don't even know the feeling of bonking. While I experimented when I was on carbs like 10 years ago when I did my first marathon. So the last few years I forgot this feeling, you know.
Sorry, Stefano, I just needed to cough there.
You're probably doing too many carbs, man.
Stefano, it's interesting because it's very much a mind shift. There's lots of information out there, and I know you don't want to get too scientific, but if people are interested in this, there's obviously places where they can go. One of the big guys that talks about this is Mark Sisson from the Primal Blueprint. You can go and get info there. I know the guys from the Fat Black podcast as well talk about it quite a bit too. But it's very big mind shift where people go, it's great, like I can do that day to day. And the first question they ask is, what do I fuel on during race day? Because they're in this thing that you've got to keep replenishing those energy stores if you're racing on carbs. So it's gels and it's the Gatorades and that sort of thing. But as you say, you don't need to fuel. You're a fat burning machine. You drink water on a race and the rest of the fuel comes from the body fat that's stored within your body.
Exactly. I mean, once you teach your body to burn fat, I mean, you're bringing it with yourself. You don't even waste time buying gels or whatever. I mean, probably you would need something during an Ironman. During the half Ironman, I had only coconut water. I had like 3 bottles of coconut water and some dark chocolate with marine salt. That's what I had, like 50 grams of chocolate and the rest was coconut water. Unfortunately, in the Ironman, I didn't have. I couldn't find coconut water at the water stop, which I would highly recommend. and I had some bars, like organic bars that I carried with me, just, you know, as an insurance, just because all these brief guys around, they were telling me to eat something, but I really didn't eat that much. What it was important to do, though, it was a good loading that 24 hours before the race, after, again, my 3 weeks of, I like to call it carb starvation. So I would just be careful not to eat much carbs, so that I create this sort of rebound effect. And when I have, again, carbs the day before, I'm pretty much on fire. So the point is not just racing, being fat adapted, but is living being fat adapted. The race day is just a direct consequence. So if every day you adapt yourself to being a fat burning guy, then the race will come naturally. And if you want to have an extra bar or whatever during race, even to kill time, you know, it's a long race. Sometimes I was like, okay, let's see what is this top. I will have a little bar. See what at my macadamia nuts. Good. I'll have one, you know, it's kind of stuff. But if you ask me that I really need it, I don't know. I'm doubtful. And I've seen a lot of people bonking, a lot of people like, you know, I was like, everybody was passing me on the ride in Kona, and in the run, it looked like a city of zombie. People like walking around. They said, I mean, why do they need to push so much on the ride when they cannot finish the run properly? And I do think that it's just because their tank were empty, while my tank was very full, because I carry with me at least 10,000 calories, even if I have 10% body fat. So why bother eating gels when your gels are already inside yourself?
Stefano, talk to me a little bit about day-to-day. People look at a diet like this, like you say, that's carb-restricted, and they think, well, what do I eat? Tell me what a typical day would, and also something that you mentioned, that in the business world that and society sort of dictate that you must have breakfast, lunch, and supper. And I know quite a bit about this because I've done a bit of work with Professor Tim Noakes here in South Africa, so I understand the thinking behind it. But you eat when you're hungry. It's not a case of eating when society tells you.
Absolutely. That's the key point. I mean, eat when you're hungry. I mean, the thing is, if I'm hungry, I eat. If I'm not hungry, I don't eat. I have some patterns, clearly, at night, because it's important to eat with family. But this is my only standpoint, eating with a family. So in the morning, I will just, first of all, like, have some coffee and cinnamon. You know, I don't use, like, I don't use sugars. I have cinnamon and coffee. Then I go, I train. And the other thing is, you know, they say you need to refill your tank after you train a lot and you have this extreme breakfast, very carb-based or protein and carb-based. I don't do that. I wait at least, and this is when science a little bit kick in. I would do like my first meal at least 2-3 hours after my workouts. I believe in autophagy. We can open a big chapter in autophagy and how all the mitochondria reaction and blah, 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 but let's keep it practical. So my first meal of the day would be around like maybe 2 or 3 o'clock, and I will have a low glycemic index meal, probably, I don't know, like nuts, seeds. I mean, calories, full stuff, you know. I will have veggies, raw veggies during the day. Otherwise, I fall asleep. Because I wake up very early, so if I fill myself with food, I wouldn't function. And how do I cope with the social pressure? That's a big issue. If I have lunch with clients, I'll just try to keep it. I mean, to handle the thing the best way I can. I will have a nice salad. I will have some fresh veggies, or I will have a little bit of fish and stuff like this. But my big meal is a night. I will have I will eat in the window from maybe 7 to 10:30 with the kids. I mean, it's very social. It's almost recreational. I mean, I will start cooking dinner, and we play, we talk a little bit. So that would be my biggest meal. Yeah.
It's truly fascinating, Stefan. I think, as you say, you can open up a whole thing here, and obviously we don't have time to get into it, but there's lots of research out there. There's lots of literature that people can read up on, and if it's something interested in, definitely dig in and go check it out. Stefano Pastorello, thank you so much for chatting to us here on the Cone Edge. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
This episode of the Cone Edge is brought to you by the Wahoo Kicker. Whether you're looking for the accuracy and control of a direct drive bike trainer or the flexibility and convenience of a wheel-on solution, Kicker and Kicker Snap are two distinct indoor training solutions. Kicker Indoor Trainer's large flywheel uses new algorithms to improve responsiveness and better replicate the sensation of riding on the road. So whether free riding or using online platforms like Zwift and TrainerRoad, you'll have the same experience you feel on your favorite outdoor rides. To check out their phenomenal range, head over to thekonaedge.com/indoor. That's thekonaedge.com/indoor. And that's it for this edition of the Cone Edge. Thank you so much for joining us. I still haven't been able to figure out how to get all my iTunes reviews. Hopefully I'll have one that I can share with you tomorrow, because I know we've got a few in over the festive season, and I really want to give a shout out to everybody who has left us a review. If you haven't, please do. It really helps us. It bumps us up in the rankings on iTunes and really helps us grow our numbers. If you wouldn't mind doing that, it would be massively, massively appreciated. And I'm going to ask another favor. If you listen to this podcast on a daily basis and you get any value out of it, I would really appreciate you considering becoming a patron of the podcast for as little as $5 a month. That's 25 US cents per podcast, okay? You get the commercial-free version, first of all, but you also help us keep the lights on. So for $5 a month, you can help support what we're doing here at the Kona Edge, and I've got some big plans for 2018, as I mentioned at the start of the show, and the only way we can do that is if I buy myself out of my regular day job. So that's the plan this year, is to pack in the day job and do the Kona Edge, pull the Kona Edge podcast and the platform full time. So that's another one of my big goals for 2018. And I'd love for you to be part of that and to help us grow this community. It's been an amazing journey so far, and I think we can keep doing big and bigger and better things here on the podcast. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, you have yourself a superb Tuesday. Take care of yourself, and we'll chat soon. Cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.